Okay, so welcome everybody to our Lemme Call Day. We're going to be talking about student mentoring in our Commonwealth schools. And I'm Jenny Baker. I'm your host today. And let me introduce myself and tell you a little bit more about me, and then I will introduce, I have a student mentor panel who is joining us today, and I'm really excited to have them on here because they'll be able to give you a unique perspective. So I'm Jenny Baker. I live in San Diego, California. I have been homeschooling for over 18 years now, and I started with Lemme about 12 years ago. I have four children. My oldest is a freshman at BYU. I have two in high school, and my youngest is turning 12 next month. And I'm the principal mentor for Millennial Scholar Academy. I've been mentoring at MSA, our Commonwealth School, for about 12 years. And we've been around, I think, about 15 years, maybe longer if you count the gathering phase. So we're a mature Commonwealth school, and we've been through all kinds of different things. And so the experience that I'll be sharing with you isn't just my experience, but this comes from our past principal mentor as well as other leaders in the community who have given feedback on this, as well as my own feedback. And then, of course, our student mentor panel will have their feedback as well to share with us. So let me introduce our student mentor panel, and as I introduce you, you can say hi, and if you want to add a little bit more about yourself, you can. Our first student mentor is Marianne Hartzell. She has actually since graduated from our Commonwealth School and is in college at BYU right now. She student mentored Shakespeare Conquest with me. I think it was back in 2012 and 2013. So, Marianne, do you have anything you want to add?
Hi.
Okay, she's a great girl, and she loves to travel the world and give service. So that's something about her. Okay, my next one is Charlotte Pond. I love Charlotte. She was my student mentor for Shakespeare Conquest back in, I think it was 2013 and 2014. And she has since graduated, and she has recently come back from like a European adventure, which was very exciting to see all her pictures and everything. So, Charlotte, is there anything you want to add about yourself?
Not really.
Not really? Okay.
I don't know. I can't think of anything. So, hello, everybody.
Thank you, Charlotte. My third one is actually my daughter, Emma Baker. She did not student mentor for me, but she was a student mentor for Sword of Freedom, I think, in 2013, and then Unleashing Your Voice, she student mentored in 2013 and 2014. Unleashing Your Voice is not a Lemme project, but it's Kathy Lohr's public speaking project, which we did. Emma, do you have anything that you want to add?
Not really, but hi, guys.
she's my oldest. And then the fourth student mentor panel we have is my next daughter, my second, Alyssa Baker, and she is 16. She's kind of the baby of the student mentor panel. All the rest of them have all since graduated. But she is currently student mentoring Quest. So, Alyssa, do you have anything you want to add?
No, just hi.
Okay. So that's our student mentor panel. So let me kind of share with you what kind of the purpose for the call is today. And then what I'm going to do eventually is we're going to kind of simulate a discussion with our student mentor panel so you can kind of see what it looks like. And then we'll open it up at the end for questions. so that you can ask me or any of our student mentor panels questions about student mentoring. So first of all, I would say our purpose today is student mentoring is wonderful. I have loved every student mentor I have had. I have had student mentors for, the past decade. I've been able to work with student mentors, personally having student mentors, as well as watching other student mentors at our Commonwealth School. Okay, I'm going to mute everyone because it looks like we're getting some feedback, and then I will unmute our mentor panel.
Conference muted.
And then let me go, Emma, you're unmuted. And hold on a second. Marianne, you're unmuted. And then Charlotte, where are you? Okay, Charlotte, you're unmuted. So you guys should be able to talk. And Alyssa's just with me. Okay. So I have absolutely loved having student mentors. It adds so much to the class. So I highly recommend working with student mentors. My purpose today is to give you information and kind of a process to work with so that you make student mentoring a really smooth and successful experience. It can be one of the most wonderful parts of mentoring, working with a student mentor. But there are some problems that can arise, and so if we know those ahead of time, we can hopefully avoid those kind of pitfalls. So this is what we're gonna talk about today. First of all, I'm going to share with you an application process that we've developed to help with choosing with student mentors to make it go more smoothly. We're going to talk about the role of the adult mentor and how to mentor a mentor. And then we're going to talk about the role of the student mentor and learning how to mentor. We're going to talk about the strengths of having a student mentor and also potential pitfalls to avoid. And then at the end, when we get through all of that, we'll open up for questions. And if anybody has questions on anything we talked about, student mentoring, or questions for our panel as well. Okay, I'm going to start with the application process. This is something that we haven't always used. But we found that having an application process like this actually makes it work really smoothly, and everybody then knows what to expect. So I recommend doing it. It might seem a little bit formal, but it just makes things really smooth and helps make sure everyone's on the same page. It opens up communication, basically. So the first thing is, as the principal mentor of our Commonwealth School, I work with our chairman to determine all of the mentors. So when a student mentor, wants to mentor, or quite frankly, an adult mentor wants to mentor, they should come and tell me this is what I'm interested in mentoring. In the past, if we didn't have an application process, sometimes a student mentor might go to the project mentors and say, hey, I want to mentor for you, but principal mentor didn't know, and another student might come to the principal mentor and ask, and it can be kind of confusing. So if you follow a process and everybody knows it, it just makes it smoothly. So have student mentors approach the principal mentor and let them know that they're interested in student mentoring, whatever particular project they're interested in. Or they can talk with the principal mentor about different ideas if they're not sure. And when a student comes to me and tells me they want a student mentor, my first thing is I always express a lot of praise and gratitude to them for wanting to give back to the community that has given them so much. It's a really wonderful thing. I encourage all of our students to eventually want to be a student mentor because it's really a wonderful thing for them to come back and give back to the community and also, they learn leadership at a deeper level and learn how to be a mentor. I mean, that's ultimately what we want for them. What we found works best is to have all of your student mentors or those who are applying to be student mentors, that they should be currently enrolled in Quest 3 or have already graduated from Quest 3. Now, we haven't always done that. Obviously, there are some students who could be ready before, But we've also sometimes had issues with some students if they weren't in Quest 3 or had been graduated from Quest 3. And I don't, as a principal mentor, I honestly don't want to be in a position of telling kids whether or not they're ready to be a student mentor or telling parents whether or not their kid is ready for that. When you have the qualification of they need to be enrolled in Quest 3 or have graduated, you already know that they're at a level that they can do that. Having graduated from Quest 3 or being enrolled in that, they're really capable, and they understand submitting to a mentor at that point, and they also understand how to take initiative to be a mentor. So that's why I think it's a really good qualification to have for your student mentors. The next thing I ask them to do is I ask them to submit an essay on why they want to student mentor. And so they usually email that to me, and then I would pass that on to the project mentors. Like if they want to student mentor, say, Shakespeare Conquest, then I would share their essay with the Shakespeare Conquest mentors and also with our chairman as well so that they can make that decision. The other thing that I really try to help facilitate is that I really only want to have one student mentor applicant per scholar project. And my reason for this is I would rather have my mentors choosing if they're ready to work with a student mentor and if it's the best thing for their class and their project, rather than choosing between candidates and it being, I like this kid better than that student. I never want to make the students feel bad about choosing to be a student mentor, and I want the adult mentors to be able to really choose if they're ready to work with a student mentor and if it's right for their class for that particular year. So after I do those things, then I meet with the adult mentors and have a discussion, and I also meet with the student mentors and have a discussion. So with the adult mentors, and the discussions are similar, so I'm going to talk about what we discussed. And then with my student mentor panel here, we're going to simulate a discussion so you can kind of see what that looks like. But when I meet with the adult mentors, what I discuss with them is the strengths of having a student mentor, potential pitfalls of having a student mentor. I help them see the student mentor's role and the adult mentor's role. We talk about how to mentor a mentor and about the importance of holding the weekly mentor meetings, because it takes more time than just mentoring the students. And it can definitely help you. It can take part of the load off of you as an adult mentor. But I found that sometimes problems happen because the adult mentors don't understand how to mentor another mentor. And if they know that going in, it just makes things work really smoothly. We also talk about how to appropriately resolve potential problems or conflicts. And then I let my adult mentors know, after we have a whole discussion about these different things, I really say to them that I strongly recommend saying yes to having a student mentor if at all possible. I think it's wonderful to have student mentors, and I think we want to give as many of our youth the opportunity to student mentor at all possible. At the same time, I do ask them to be prayerful and thoughtful in deciding if they can commit to having a student mentor and if having one is right for their class and project that year. I do recognize that sometimes there are situations where maybe they can't give the time to mentor another mentor or that it might not be right for a particular class and group of students in their class to have a student mentor. And so that's something that we take into account. But if they can say yes to having a student mentor, I recommend that because it's wonderful to have a student mentor. My meeting with the student mentors is very similar. We do the same things. We talk about the strengths of having a student mentor, potential pitfalls, the role of the student mentor, the role of the adult mentor. With the students I talk about with them, we discuss how to submit to mentoring and how to take initiative as a mentor. And then we also talk about how to resolve potential problems. And then this is actually new. This is the first year that I've done this. I had talked with the adult mentors and the student mentors, and I said that we could have a student mentor contract that they both sign so that they're aware of kind of their roles, and that they the contract opens up communication so that the adult mentors can have a meeting with the student mentor and discuss things ahead of time so they kind of have an idea going in what this looks like and what this means. And so I had some mentors in our Commonwealth this year ask me to draft up a student mentor contract for them and their student mentor to sign, which I did, and I actually included on there both the responsibilities of the adult mentor as well as the responsibilities of the student mentor. So that's something that if you're interested in, I can certainly share that with you and email that out to everybody. So that's kind of the application process. Let me get my student mentor panel here together, and we're going to simulate the discussion, and we'll talk about each one of those areas that we would have in the discussion. Okay, ladies. Let's start with talking about what are the strengths of having a student mentor in a project. This is where you all get to speak up.
Okay.
What are the strengths? Marianne, was that you?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I would say one of them is as great as it is to have adult mentors, I remember just when I was taking classes how great it was to have a student mentor because I felt like it was someone closer to my age that I could relate to. And that might sound silly, but at the same time, I knew they had just taken the classes I had taken. And although there was an age difference, it wasn't huge. And I knew that they were like a role model to me, a few years older than me. And so I love that because I feel like there's a different connection sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's probably the number one thing is that a student mentor is often more inspiring to their peers than the adult mentors because the adult mentors may have never actually been through the project before, right? And the student mentor has more credibility because they've actually done this work, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're like in Shakespeare Conquest, maybe they watched the student mentor a few years before in the Shakespeare play, or they saw them, do an oral exam for Quest or something like that. And so that gives a lot of credibility.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love that. Okay, what are other strengths of having a student mentor?
It definitely allows for kind of more, like, insight, like, since the student mentor has usually been through the class before, then they can kind of talk to the mentors and, like, I don't know, they kind of know what it feels like to be a student in the project and how, like, stressful and hard it can be, especially with Quest. So I think you can definitely, like, when you're, like, having your discussions with mentors or whatever, you can definitely, like, add a lot of insight to help the students, I guess.
All right, thank you, Alyssa. I love that because I think having the student mentor provides kind of the student view, and when you're having mentor meetings and you're discussing the class and how they're doing and how to inspire them, it's really nice to have a student view to say, well, this is what I found really inspiring, or yeah, that was really hard for me, and this is how I overcame it. Because sometimes as adults, we could be a little bit more removed because we have 25, 30 years, right, on our students. And having someone who's maybe only a couple years older than them really provides that student view, which I think is powerful for the adults to listen to that view. Thank you. Okay. Is this Emma?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Emma.
I was just going to say, I think it can also help in terms of, like, when the student mentor is leading discussions or giving lectures and stuff. It's in the same kind of thing that
they often will know how to present something in a way that makes it more relatable to the students because they're still in that stage themselves.
Yeah, I think that the student mentor is like the example, and they really give the students a vision of themselves, what they can become. When they see the student mentor up there, like Alyssa, currently mentoring Quest, she, every time they're in Quest 2, so they're doing their speeches right now, and she always gives the first speech. And I remember the very first one she gave for the semester, the students were like in awe that she was such a good speaker. And because she'd been through, you know, Quest, and she'd been through Unleashing Your Voice, and she knew how to do an inspiring, great speech. And they were just kind of amazed. It gave them a vision. Her example gave them a vision of what they could become if they put in the work, you know, in Quest. So I love that, Emma. Thank you. Okay. Other strengths of having a student mentor that you guys can think of.
Another I would say is it just all having adult mentors as well as student mentors, it all balances out. Because sometimes, like, you know, if you're having different people lead discussions or different people giving lectures or just talking to you, it's not just one person that you're going to get sick of. It's good to have to mix it up and to have a balance sometimes to be able to talk to one person or then for a student to go to a different mentor, you know, and just to have a variety of different people to go to for help is really nice.
Yeah, okay, Alyssa, she was saying, uh-huh. So, yeah, you were agreeing with her. Did you have something you want to add?
Also, like you were saying, they're kind of more relatable. Like if a student doesn't even feel comfortable talking to a mentor about something they're having a hard time with, they might like with a student mentor.
Yeah, I think that's powerful to remember is that when you're mentoring a class of students, you know, Shakespeare Conquest tends to be one of the biggest classes, right? So you've got 20, you know, kids or whatever in there. Not every student may not connect with all the mentors. And having a student mentor does give them someone who they can really relate to. And it also, I think, like Marianne said, shares the load. So it can make it easier on the adult mentors and the student mentors because you have, you know, another person to share the lectures, you know, leading the discussions, doing the activities. I think it's nice to have more than, you know, one person to be able to share that with to get a different point of view from them. And I do think that the different students will relate with different mentors, and so it's nice just to have different people, you know, as options there. Okay, anything else you guys can think of about strengths of having a student mentor? Okay, this was something that I thought of. I actually think that often a student mentor can have more expertise on a project than the adult mentors, because they've been through it. You know, think about, I think about, like, my student mentors for Shakespeare. They went through 2 years of Shakespeare Conquest, 2 years of classical acting, and had been through Quest and everything. And so when they came back and were student mentors for Shakespeare, they'd already been through 4 years of doing Shakespeare plays, at least, you know, if not more. That made them really, really powerful. They had, you know, gives really good insights, can coach the students really well in a way that maybe a new Shakespeare mentor doesn't even have that expertise yet. You know, maybe it's their first year going through it, or maybe they've been through it a couple years, but the students can actually have more expertise on the area. And that's a nice thing to have that, you know, because they've really been through the trenches. Okay, so let me ask you, all of you, because I think one of the main strengths of having a student mentor is that it really gives you an opportunity to practice leadership and to learn how to mentor. So let me just ask you, what was your experience practicing leadership, learning how to mentor, and maybe how has that helped you even as you've gone on? I know only Alyssa is still actually in the Common Law School. The rest of you have all graduated and moved on from that. But how has that opportunity to practice leadership and mentor, taught you? Or what did you gain from that experience?
So I remember one experience I had while student mentoring in Shakespeare was we were running scenes after getting ready for our play, after everyone had been cast. And I remember I was supposed to take two students out and work on a scene with them. And they ran through the show and it was okay, but I knew that these kids had potential and I knew they could do a good job at it. And the one kid was just doing it half-heartedly. And I kind of got in his face, and I was like, look, I know you can do this. I know you're a good actor. I want to see you do it. Show me what you have. And he did it, and he did it again, and it was better, but it wasn't great. I said, look, I know you can do this. I've been through this. Like, I know, personally, I've seen you in other things. I know you're a good actor, and you're not putting your heart into it. And I think it kind of annoyed him. And I was kind of like, prove it to me. Show me you can do it. And I was there as, like, his coach. And then he went through the scene, and he did an amazing job. And I was like, did you just see? Like, that was amazing. And he's like, yeah, I know. Like, that went really well. And so I think it was scary for me to kind of to not just be his friend, but to say, hey, like, I know you can do this, and I want you to succeed at this. So I need you to step it up, and I need you to try your hardest at this and show me so that we can perform a great play and that you can learn from this experience. And that helped me, yeah, not just to only be his friend, but to get out of my comfort zone and be able to kind of lead him. And I think that's helped me even just in my relationships and my friendships and giving advice and listening.
I think that's wonderful to share, Marianne. That's a great experience. I think Alyssa probably had a similar experience. She just directed the process drama in classical acting last month, and I think she could say she had a similar experience being the director with her peers. Alyssa, do you have something you want to add to what Marianne said?
I guess it's really hard. That was harder for me because it's like all the kids that are in Quest with me and then some of my, like, friends that are even closer to my age. So it was definitely hard to be, like, have to be, like, assertive and, like, get on them and, like, tell them to do it right because they're my friends. But I did it.
Do you think that helps you stand alone, like being able to stand for what's right and true when all of your friends maybe are looking to you for leadership? I kind of laughed because after the very first rehearsal, she came home and she said to me, oh, my gosh, it's so hard. Nobody listens to you as the director, and it can't possibly be that hard for you when you direct the play. And I just laughed and laughed and laughed. So, okay, Emma or Charlotte, do either of you want to share how practicing leadership and being a mentor, how that, an experience you had or how it's helped you, what you've learned from that?
One thing that it really helped me with was gaining more confidence in my leadership abilities. Both of the classes I student mentored had a
fairly rowdy group that, I mean, kind of describes a lot of scholars at that age, but they definitely, some of them did not want to listen and particularly didn't want to listen to someone who was only 2 years older than them, you know, which can be a difficulty, but that experience of, you know, trying to work on being this inspiring example to these students who were sometimes a little bit like, oh, we're too cool for that, just really gave me a lot of great opportunities to work on practicing being a leader and, you know, work on finding where these students did care, even if they didn't show it, and helping to inspire them to actually, you know, give their all to the projects.
So it sounds like you learned how to love them even when they were difficult. and you learned how to inspire them even when they didn't always want to do everything, all the activities.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty powerful because I think those are things you can apply in all of your life, right? I mean, learning how to love difficult people, that's a real gift because there's lots of people in life who may sometimes, you know, be struggling or be a little bit difficult. So I think that's really powerful, Emma. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, Charlotte, you've been really quiet.
I know. I've been putting together a thought, and it's mostly formed. So the reason that I wanted to student mentor at all is because I feel like Shakespeare had a big impact on who I am as a person. Because if you look at me, like, Jenny, you know, like, you knew me. Like, I was very shy and very closed off to everyone. And then I went through Shakespeare and classical acting and, like, and all of MFA, and that, like, completely changed everything. And so I was like, I want to be that for someone else. Like, I want to help someone else come out of their shell and, like, accept who they are and all that stuff. And honestly, I don't think I saw that happen in Shakespeare. And, like, halfway through the year, I was like, I'm not even doing what I want to do. These kids are so frustrating because Marianne had done it right before, and she – and Marianne, when you were telling that story, I was like, oh, I remember about that, hearing about that the day that it happened. but I remember being like, oh, everyone loves Marianne as a mentor, and everyone hates me. And
that's not true.
It was, they didn't hate me, but I think one of the things one of my biggest lessons was learning how to separate roles. Like, there was a time to be their friend, and there was a time to be their mentor in it. And it was really hard for me because I really liked hanging out with them, like, joking around with them. But then when I, like, had to be a mentor and I had to help them, like, show them what to do and get them to be quiet during lectures and activities and get them to participate, like, sometimes it was hard. It was hard for me to, like, want to tell them what to do because I was like, I've been there. Sometimes this is really boring. Like, I don't want to build a box right now, but I'm going to do it because I'm a mentor and that is my job. I'd say learning how to separate roles and learning, like, that there's a time and a place for every role that you have. And I've seen it, like, in my calling at church now, like, I'm able to just kind of, like, not shut down being friends with people, but I know, like, that there's a time to hang out with my friends and there's a time to, like, do my job and make sure people are taken care of and everything. So, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I think that's really powerful, Charlotte, and I think that touches on some of, like, the roles or responsibilities, both of the adult mentors and the student mentors. I think, you know, it's really important for the adult mentor to really build the student mentor up to the other students and to say to the other students, look, this student mentor is a mentor. They deserve your respect. You know, you need to treat them with respect and you need to listen to what they say. And I know I would kind of get off after any of the students if they were back-mouthing, you know, talking back or something to the student mentors, because you really want to build them up to the other students. And then it's important on the student mentor side to remember they have that mantle of mentorship on them, and they have it all the time, even when they're with their friends hanging out. They still kind of have that mantle. Like, one of the important roles for both the adult mentors and the student mentors is to recognize confidentiality, right? When we have a weekly mentor meeting, we're discussing our class and their needs. We often have to be pretty frank about the students, you know, who needs help, who's struggling, who's doing well. And that confidentiality is really important. And so the student mentor can't break confidence on what they're talking about in the mentor meeting just because they want to be friends, right? You have to, like, I know, like, it was always hard when we were choosing the setting for the play. I know that's a big deal, and the kids are dying to know what the setting for the play is. And yet, as a student mentor, you may already know, and you have to hold that confidence until it's the right time to say that. And that's a hard skill to learn. And this is a good, safe place to learn that skill, how to have that mentorship mantle with among your peers, right? Because that's something that comes into play, you're right, later in life, in work or in church or in other leadership positions. So I think that's pretty powerful, Charlotte. Thank you. Okay, let's talk about some of the potential pitfalls of student mentoring, and then as well, like, the roles of the student mentor. So what do you all think are the potential pitfalls of student mentoring? What are some of the problems that can arise?
Miscommunication.
Oh, miscommunication, that's a huge one, right? So how would you say is the best way to not have miscommunication?
I think, like you were saying, the application process, like, sorry, like, where you have to, like, write a paper, like, saying what you want to do, why, like, that kind of, like, helps to, like, get you and the mentors on the same page. And then also, I guess, just being at all the mentor meetings, and I think kind of understanding what the standard is, too, because I know I've seen people who, they were student mentors, and they were good student mentors and stuff, but there was some miscommunication, and there was miscommunication about what they could tell the other students. Like, they didn't realize, like, during the play, they didn't realize that they weren't supposed to tell people about casting or what play it was or whatever, and that, like, caused problems. So I think kind of knowing what the standard is and being on the same page, and also kind of the same thing goes for the mentor, too.
So it's important for them to have, like, their weekly mentor meetings,
yeah,
and be communicating, definitely. And to for the adult mentors to mentor the student mentors so they know what does confidentiality apply to, and what commitments do I make, and how, you know, who's doing what. Like, that's really important, right? Because if everybody knows what their job is, they can, that, you know, that will make things run smoother, right? Yeah, I think communication, I think that's true of any relationship. Communication is huge.
Yeah.
So thank you. Okay, what are other potential pitfalls?
Well, like, one possible one can be either, like, the adult mentor is putting too much responsibility on the student mentor, or the student mentor trying to take on too much.
Yeah.
And, it's probably kind of obvious why that can be a problem, but I think that can sometimes be hard to avoid it, like, if the adult mentor doesn't quite grasp how difficult something is and is like, oh, and you can do this and this, or if the student mentor is a little over-enthusiastic and is like, oh, yeah, I can do that. So just finding a balance there can be a little bit tricky sometimes.
I think that is really important to, and that's more communication, but it is, I think the adult mentors need to be mindful that the student mentor is still a youth and is often taking other classes and things. So I know, like, I tried to be mindful. If the student was enrolled in Quest 3, was taking Quest 3, I tried to be really mindful of them and say, you know, find out when is your court case, because I didn't want to, like, have them doing, grading a bunch of papers and, you know, giving the lecture and doing all the activities if it was, you know, the week of their court case or something like that. And so being real open and talking about that, and even asking, like, I know I like to ask my student mentors, which of the lectures are you interested in doing? Are there any that you're scared to give and you're terrified and don't want to give? You know, so that you have communication going on. I know, like with Alyssa, I knew she wanted to work on her speaking skills. And so, you know, I said to her, I really want you to give a speech each week of Quest. Not each week of Quest, but every other week, I guess, when we're doing our speeches. And I want you to teach the students, you know, here are things you can emulate. Here are things you can work on in your speeches. Here are speech skills, right, speaking skills. And so you have to be mindful that not to put too much on the student mentor, such as there's certain things like discipline issues should never be put on the student mentor, right? They're still a youth. They're still a peer. So we shouldn't expect them to discipline the other students or be responsible for the other students. They still need to – there should be an adult present at all times. We don't want to have student mentors, you know, who – there's no adult around in case of emergency or in case there's a big problem. There should be an adult there. And so I think that's important, Emma. And then at the same time, I think you're right. Student mentors can because they can have more expertise, which can be wonderful. Like I know Charlotte, I remember a time with her. We were working on the play. She wanted to be over like props and sets and stuff because that's something that really interested her. And I was trying to describe to another adult what I needed for props and sets. And, like, I had tried multiple times. I'd sent them pictures. We talked about it over and over and over again. And this other adult was not getting it. And so Charlotte, like, said, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. And she totally did. I didn't have to say anything else to her. She came back, and it was wonderful. It was, like, perfect what she came back with that she created. And so that's something where she had expertise and could just take it and she didn't even need mentoring because she was so good at that. Sometimes, though, a mentor, and this was never true with Charlotte, but sometimes a student mentor might think that they have so much expertise that they actually know more than the adult mentor, and maybe then they disrespect the mentor because they think they know more than them. And so it's really important that there's respect between the adults and the students, that we respect and give them the opportunity to shine with their expertise. Charlotte likes to shine. But to let them really let them shine in their area that they're good at. And yet at the same time, they need to be very respectful of the adult mentors and realize the adults are still the primary mentors and still, you know, may need to make difficult decisions. And if the adults make a decision as a student mentor, you need to go along with that because there's often multiple reasons involved. So I think that's pretty powerful, Emma. Thank you. Okay, other potential pitfalls.
I would say one is trust between my assistant mentor and the students. Because
wait, Marianne, you're kind of fuzzy.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, so I would say one would be trust between the student mentor and the students or the student to the student mentor. Because I think it's easy sometimes. I mean, the students can look up to the student mentor and say, oh, wow, they're great, you know, they've been through this. But sometimes I think it has a downfall because they look at the adult mentors and they go, oh, you know, they know so much. They have a family, they've lived lives, and then, oh, it's just this teenager, you know, student mentoring. They don't know as much. They don't know how to grade my paper correctly. They don't know how to ask good discussion questions. And I think sometimes the students can criticize that and not want to trust the student mentor. And I think that trust can come eventually. But I think the student mentor has to work to show the students that there's a bond of trust.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's very important. It's true of all mentors. And that's one of the roles, right, of the student mentor is to treat the students and the other mentors with love and respect and kind of use their spiritual eyes to see the genius within. And I think as the student mentors do that, and then as the adult mentors really build up the student mentors, there can be a lot of trust developed, especially if the student mentor is keeping that confidentiality. Like, the student mentor should never complain about their students to other peers. If they have a problem, they need to come to the adult mentors or, you know, the principal mentor or to their parents to help them resolve that problem so that they can really love the students and develop that trust. And I think you're right. I think that trust can be built and can be really powerful. Mm-hmm. But it's true. Sometimes the students might say, oh, well, they're not, they're, I don't have to listen to them. And it is important that we build them up and also help the student mentor know how to build that trust by using their spiritual eyes and by really loving and inspiring the students. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, any other potential pitfalls you guys can think of? We talked about some of them already, like breaking confidentiality. Obviously, that would be a pitfall, so you need to make sure you talk about that. One of the things, that is one of the most common pitfalls is a student mentor might flake out on commitments or that they're too quiet and don't voice their opinion. So I don't think any of you guys did that. You didn't flake out. You guys were pretty good committed. But often when that happens, it's because the student mentor doesn't know how to be a mentor. They need help. And so that's why it's important for the adult mentor to teach the student how to be a mentor. So, like, I know when we have conference calls, I try to always ask the opinion. A lot of times the student mentor will be quiet on the conference calls, and so turning over to them and asking their opinion and asking what they think or how they would handle something gives them kind of, I think, the confidence and also to, like, help them know what's expected. Like, I hold a pretty high standard for all my students and particularly my student mentors. If they make a commitment, I expect them to keep it. But then at the same time, I say, let's keep the communication lines open. So if you don't know what to do for that lecture that you're supposed to give, call me up and let's talk about it and discuss it and make sure you have ideas on how to give that lecture. Or if you're overwhelmed because, you know, you have all the stuff going on in other classes, okay, let's lighten your load a little bit this week, so that you don't have to flake out on commitments. You can decide which commitments are really the important ones and still be a really great student mentor. Let's see. Anything else you guys can think of? I think we've covered most of them. Okay, let's talk real quickly about, like, the student mentor responsibilities and also how to resolve problems. Let's talk about how to resolve problems first. If there's a problem, how do you guys resolve it? What's the appropriate way to resolve a problem as a student mentor?
Communicate.
Communicate with who?
Well, like, first with the mentor. I mean, if there's problems you guys can't resolve on your own, I guess you could, like, go to the principal mentor. But hopefully communication between the student mentor and adult mentors would, like, solve the problems.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is just talking in that, applying the seven habits, right? Seek first to understand and then to be understood. If you communicate and you're all trying to understand the others, you should be able to work out most problems, right? And then recognizing if there's something that you really aren't resolving, you can go to the principal mentor for mentoring, right? We don't go just start complaining to everybody else. We work together and we talk to the principal mentor or maybe the chairman, because that's, you're getting mentoring on how to work as mentors. So that's really powerful, knowing how to do that. Any other insights on how to resolve problems, if there are problems? Charlotte or Marianne or Alyssa?
To go along with, you know, like, talking to them, I think, I know I saw this, when kids weren't behaving or they were acting up or weren't being respectful, instead of just, you know, saying, hey, stop. I mean, sometimes that did work, to tell them just to knock it off, stop. But once you've done that five times in a row or whatever, it's not very successful. But to take them aside and, yeah, talk to them and listen to them and say, hey, what's going on? Why are you acting this way? Tell me what you're feeling. And I think that many times they realize that you do care about them, and they realize that their behavior is not appropriate, and they will want to correct that.
You know, that's pretty powerful, Marianne, because you're totally right. When there's a behavior issue going on, like, I mean, a continuing behavior issue, there's more to it, right? And I know every time I've taken a student aside and talked to them, and not like a you're in trouble type of talking to them, but a really trying to understand what's going on. Often I find out, you know, either maybe they're scared to death of their role, or they think that they can't do it, or, and so that's their way of coping, right, is being the clown or goofing off. Sometimes I found out that a student doesn't want to be there and their mom is, like, making them, in which case I say, oh, let's have a mentor meeting then with your parents, because, you know, we got to apply the good, better, best principle. My class might be a good thing, but if it's not the best thing for you, I don't want you to come just because you have to, you know. And so I'll even go to the parents and say, look, if this isn't where your student wants to be, please don't force them to be here, because, you know, maybe there's a better thing. And I've also had that experience, Marianne, where I asked the student to pray about something, and I've seen huge changes in behavior problems when a student really prayed and committed. Because a lot of times it's that there's a lack of commitment. Maybe they're not sure if they want to commit because it's hard. We're asking them to do really hard things. And so I think you're right. Taking a student, you know, alone, privately, and talking with them and really seeking to find out what's going on with you, then they know you care about them and love them and you're not just mad at them. That's really powerful. Okay, any other ideas on resolving problems? Okay, let's talk about the responsibilities, and then when we're done with that, I think we will open it up to questions, okay? And whatever questions people have for us and whoever they want to direct it to, whether they want to direct it to me or our student panel, that's fine as well. So let's talk about the responsibilities. I'm going to, like, just read through some of the responsibilities, but I want you guys, my mentor panel here, I want you to speak up if you have something to say about any of these responsibilities. Obviously we have things like student mentors should be responsible for their own education and commit to participating in class and doing what the mentors ask. They should attend all classes regularly and alert adult mentors in advance without of any absence. It's important that student mentors, like, I know sometimes kids will want a student mentor, but they have, you know, they have a class every week or something that conflicts. And it doesn't work for them to be a student mentor if they're not there regularly. They need to be committed to being there regularly. Obviously, occasional things come up, you know, somebody's sick or maybe they're out of town for a week, and that's fine. And as long as you talk about that, that shouldn't be a problem, but they do need to be committed to being there regularly. Respect is a huge one of the responsibilities, treating the students and the other mentors with love and respect, and looking for that genius within, recognizing that everybody has that genius within and using their spiritual eyes. Remembering the mentor mantle, so remembering that even when I'm with my peers and friends, I'm still a student mentor, and continue to uphold my student mentor responsibilities. Confidentiality. Keep mentor meetings and private info discussed in those meetings confidential. Being a good example. Be a positive example to other students by inspiring them with my uplifting attitude and words. Inspire and provide an example for others in my behavior, dress, and personal scholarship. Commitments. Keep my commitments and fulfill all of my mentor assignments. Cooperation. Cooperate with the adult mentors. Be willing to take their mentoring and work with them. Communicate openly, honestly, and respectfully with the other mentors and with the students. Attend weekly mentor meetings. Attend other mentoring. I didn't mention this, but attend LEMI training. or if it's not a LEMI project, you know, the training for that project. We always have our student mentors attend the training, and that's one of those things that makes it much more smoothly, and they're on the same page, is that they've attended LEMI training as well, and that they can be on these conference calls and receive more mentoring as well. And then, of course, if problems arise, discuss them first with the adult mentors and then with the principal mentor. And the main things that I won't do is I won't share confidential info with my peers, friends, or others. I won't belittle or complain about the students or the adult mentors to my peers. I won't flake out on my commitments and responsibilities, and I won't overstep by disrespecting the decisions of the adult mentors. If you make the decisions together, hopefully that shouldn't be a problem, but it's important that the students know that. Do you guys have any thing to add to those responsibilities that I just mentioned, any of our student mentor panel, or anything to say about those?
I would just add that first of all, I think the student mentor wants to be there. It's not a parent pressuring them to student mentor, and also that they're willing not only to teach and to be that mentor, but to get to know the kids and to want to get to know the kids. Because if they're not interested in having, you know, a mentor-friend relationship, if they're not interested in that, I don't think there's a lot of point of them being there, because you do need to get to know the kids, and you might not be great friends with all of them, but you do need to get to know them so that they can have that connection with you.
Thank you, Marianne. I think both of those are huge. We do not want a student mentor who's doing it because their parent wants them to, or because it looks good on a college application or something like that. We want student mentors who really want to be there and who are really willing to get to know the students, befriend them, love them. That's huge. Thank you. I'm going to add that to our contract that I have made up, because I think that's really important. Anything else that you guys think needs to be added or that you want to explain more about? Okay, then let me go over the adult mentor responsibilities, and then student mentor panel, you can also comment on this if you think something needs to be added or if you want to explain something more in depth. For the adult mentors, I said, and most of these are actually the same as the student mentors. Again, they need to be responsible for their own education and commit to participating in class and doing what the mentors ask. They need to know that they're the primary mentor, so they need to deal with things like discipline problems, or if a parent is being a problem, occasionally that might happen. The adult mentors should take care of that and not put that onto the student mentors. We never want them to put the student mentors in an awkward position. They should attend class regularly and alert the other mentors in advance about absences. And I would add to that, they need to always arrange that there's an adult mentor with the student mentor. So they shouldn't, you know, leave the student mentor alone there just in case of emergency or, you know, other things. Not that the student might not be The student mentor might be very capable of running the whole class on their own, but they should still have an adult there to help with, like, discipline type of things. They need to treat the students and student mentor with love and respect and use their spiritual eyes to see that genius within. They need to build up the student mentor by treating him or her with respect, particularly in front of the students, and they need to openly encourage all the students to treat the student mentor with respect. They need to make sure that they keep the mentor meetings private and confidential, so that they're not sharing. If the student mentor shares something in confidentiality, they shouldn't be going around talking about that with other parents or other students. They should be a positive example to others by inspiring them with their uplifting words and attitudes. And they should also refrain from belittling or complaining about the student mentor or the other students. They should keep their commitments and fulfill the mentor responsibilities, and really cooperate with the student mentor, and allow the student mentor to be a full mentor, like, you know, to recognize their areas of leadership and expertise and give them the opportunity to shine and be the leader in that opportunity. And then they really need to make sure they're teaching mentoring skills and helping the student mentor learn how to be a great mentor. In LEMI, that's what we're constantly doing, is we're teaching how to mentor. We talk a lot about the 5 mentor skills, and those 5 mentor skills are things that you want to work on with your student mentor, and really help them learn how to apply them, okay? They need to, the adult mentors need to communicate openly, honestly, and respectfully with the other mentors, hold and attend the weekly mentor meeting, and, of course, if problems arise, first they should discuss it with the other mentors, and then if they need to go to the principal mentor, they can do that as well. And student mentor panels, do you guys have anything to add there?
I do have one thing. And it could be for both the student mentor and the mentor, or just the student mentor, or whatever. But one thing that I did have to remember when I was a student mentor is that, like, they're all children of God, and they are 12, and they are still, like, figuring out who they are and how they are around other people, especially around their friends, which tends to make them act out in class because they are trying to gauge reactions and see, like, find their sense of humor and everything like that. And one thing I, like, had to tell myself is, like, Charlotte, like, you were just like that. Like, you were trying to figure it out, and you didn't know how much, like, Shakespeare would, like, I feel weird saying change my life, but I feel like Shakespeare did change my life. I get very intense at how much I love Shakespeare sometimes. And so, yeah, like, that's what I had to remind myself. Like, you didn't know. Like, they don't know. Like, they will eventually, like, hopefully they will look back and see that Shakespeare was a good thing, even though right now they're talking, all the boys are grumbling because they have to wear mascara or whatever. So, yeah, that's one thing that I had to remind myself of a lot.
I think that's really important, Charlotte. I think that's a good thing to add as well, because you're right. Sometimes it's hard to remember that these kids are 12 and 13. They're going through the hormones and the changes, and they're shy and they're nervous and they don't know if they can do this yet. And so remembering that, what that was like for you, right, when you were 12 and coming in and doing this, and remembering to love them despite their awkwardness or their grumbling or their goofing off or whatever, I think that's where a student mentor can be so powerful, because I think they're a very real vision of what, like, the potential of these 12 and 13-year-olds, right, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, whatever. And our student mentors tend to be 16, 17-ish, right? And so they're older. They've been through these projects. They've become good actors. They've become good speakers, good writers, you know, and they're kind of these amazing, our kids, you know, graduate from Quest 3, and they're amazing, and that's, like, who our student mentors then are for these kids who are still, they're still seedlings, right? They haven't quite matured, so that's really powerful to remember that, that and be able to see that potential within them. Thank you. Okay, anything else you guys want to add before I open it up for questions? I'm going to read through a couple more things just because we talked about some of these, but this was from Angela Creel, and I just wanted to make sure, because I think the way she said some things is really good. She says, reasons to use a student mentor. Student mentors can have more credibility in class because they're a peer. It gives them an opportunity to practice a leadership position. It helps the student mentor experience the class on a higher level. It helps the parents get a vision of their kids in leadership and what a scholar can attain. It helps the kids get a vision of what they can attain. It helps their scholars learn lessons about mentoring others and being mentored themselves. And it helps the scholar exercise more responsibility and implement their own ideas in a classroom. I think that's pretty powerful, letting the student mentor really own the activity or the lecture or the discussion that they're leading. And it helps them to learn to inspire greatness within others, which is powerful. And let me look and see if she has any warnings that we didn't already talk about. This was a warning that I thought was a good one. If you're using a student mentor as a director in Shakespeare, when you have a student director, have the adult mentors direct any of the romantic scenes. And that lets the student mentor retain more of a normal relationship with their peers. The romantic scenes are kind of awkward anyways, so don't make the student mentor direct the romantic scenes, especially if they're really worried about that. And also you want the romantic scenes not to be too romantic, obviously, right, when we're dealing with our with our teens. Let's see, is there anything else? I think everything else we kind of covered. So, okay, I'm going to open it up for questions now for everybody. So if you want to raise your hand, let's try this. It says 5-star, raise your hands if you have a question. I will unmute you, and you can ask questions to me or to our student panel. You can say if you're directing it towards someone in particular, or you can just ask questions, you know, in general. So if you have a question, push 5-star. Okay, I'm not seeing any 5-star, so I'm going to unmute us. I'm going to unmute all, and if you have a question, you can just ask, because maybe it's not working. Hey, does anybody have a question that they have for about student mentoring?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay, who is this?
This is Katrina.
Katrina.
Hi. We are a pretty new school, and we have kids who've gone through scholar projects, but they haven't necessarily gotten through Quest 3. And I was wanting to know your insight or thoughts on having student mentors, even though they haven't gotten through all of that yet.
You know, it's possible that they could be ready to be a student mentor and be fabulous at student mentoring. Because we're a mature school, we can kind of put that in place, and it just means that we have a standard and that we know if we've got, you know, our Quest 3 kids coming into student mentoring, we know they're ready for it. In Quest, you really work on submitting, and you really work on then having initiative. Like the first level of Quest, you do tons and tons of submission. As you get to the second level and third level, you have more and more initiative. You still have a lot of submission, but you have more initiative. And when you finish Quest 3, these kids have really developed their scholar skills, so they're competent at speaking, at leading discussions, at teaching, at fielding questions. So it just prepares them as a mentor because they have those skills behind them. That doesn't mean that a student couldn't be ready to do it beforehand. So I think that's something that you have to kind of decide with your Commonwealth school if it's new and so you don't have kids quite there yet. The other thing is when we have a standard like saying they need to be enrolled in Quest 3 or graduated, it also just keeps it. I don't have to judge if your kid is ready or not. I really don't want to have to tell some parent, you know what, your kid really isn't mature enough to be a student mentor. And so by having that standard, I know that if they've graduated from Quest 3, they're perfectly capable of being a student mentor. So that's just something you have to kind of discuss and decide. Certainly there are students who will be fabulous student mentors even if they haven't, you know, been through Quest yet.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions about student mentoring?
I have a question. I don't know if you discussed this yet, but I'm wondering if you could work with your own child who is, once they've graduated from Quest 3.
You mean as a student mentor?
Yes. If you were mentoring, say, Shakespeare, and your own child had already been through Shakespeare twice and, you know, would have gone through Quest 1 and 2 and maybe starting Quest 3, if you could work with them. I mean, is that something that normally you don't do because it's your own child and you tend to treat them like a child? What do we do?
Okay. Actually, I have mentored with my own kids. I'm mentoring with one right now. So I'm going to have Alyssa. I'm mentoring Quest currently, and my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, Alyssa, is my student mentor. So let's see what she says about mentoring with her mom.
I think it's good. I feel like it's definitely, like, I feel like I get more mentoring than if it was just with other mentors because I'm at home and I can, like, I don't know, because my mom is constantly mentoring me and whatever whenever she can, like, relate anything in life to different principles or whatever, she's, will, like, do that. And so I definitely, like, I know I've learned, like, one of the things that I didn't even learn from being in class or whatever, but we were discussing something else and she was talking about as a mentor you have to have, like, a no-feel do for, like, that class. And I didn't know that before. And that was kind of, like, a big thing for me. It was like, wow, you do. And that even made me think, I'm a dancer, and I sometimes have the opportunity to teach younger girls dance, and that even made me think that, like, in dance, like, teaching that, you can have a no-feel do for that class and how much more, like, powerful that would make it. So I definitely think it's not a problem to mentor with your kid. I think it's a good thing. But, I mean, you do have to be hard on them still. Like, you have to, like, my mom, I know my mom's never been easy on me. She's, if anything, harder on me than her kid. I've been mentored by her a lot. But, like, that's a good thing, for sure. And one of the things is, like she was saying, with me giving speeches in Quest 2, I know I've been overwhelmed before and been, like, it's the night before, and I had so much else going on that I couldn't do it. And one time I was like, Mom, I can't do this. And she was like, no, you committed to it. You have to do it. And then she was able to, like, what's the word? Motivate me, I guess. Be like, you can do this. And I ended up doing it, and it was great. So, yeah, I think it works. As long as you're not, like, being super easy on your kid or whatever, I think it definitely.
And as the mom, here's what I'll say. I think you have to avoid a few pitfalls if you're mentoring your own student. I think it's wonderful, actually, to mentor with your kids. I've loved having that opportunity. But there are a couple pitfalls that you want to avoid if it's your own student. One, you don't want to be too easy on them because you don't want to look at them as your baby. You want to look at them as a fellow mentor. And so you kind of have to step back for a minute and say, this isn't my baby. This is my fellow mentor. And so you kind of have to be able to look at them in that way. So that's, I guess, one pitfall is maybe being too easy on them. The other thing that you can have is, like Alyssa was saying, she was overwhelmed and she hadn't done the speech yet and she wanted to give up. And I know if she had been working with other mentors, she probably would not have called them up and cried and said, I just want to give up, you know. But she did to me as her mom. And so, and I had to not, like, say, oh, it's okay, baby. I know you've had a rough week. What I did is said, you are a Quest graduate and an Unleashing Your Voice graduate. You can sit down and in 30 minutes you can put together a great speech if you don't have the time to do this. You know, you can just take a set amount of time, focus on it for that amount of time. So you do have to, at the same time, when it is your child, you can be mindful of their situation. So it's like, if I know she has a particularly hard week, I'll say, oh, do you want an easier week in mentoring this week? You know, let's not assign you to give the lecture this week if you're already doing, you know, if it's tech week of the play or something like that. So I think as long as you have communication and as long as you have a good working relationship with your student, your child, and if you're really open to listening to their ideas and not just thinking of them as, you know, a kid, because you really have to realize, like, these student mentors are amazing. They have great insights, and you really want to listen to that and let them be a leader, you know. Does that answer your question?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Okay. I think we maybe could have one more question and then close if somebody has one more question. Does anybody else have a question on student mentoring? Okay, it doesn't sound like we have any more questions. So I want to say thank you, first of all, to our student mentor panel. I know that they had to get up early to be on this call. And for kids who are still in their teens on a Saturday morning to have to get up early, I know it's a sacrifice, but I want them to know how much I appreciate them. I have loved mentoring, student mentoring with each of them. They have been just marvelous, and I'm so glad that I've had the opportunity to mentor with them because they have really added to the classes. Quite frankly, I don't know that I could have done what I did in the classes without them those years because they really were fundamental parts of our class as mentors. They gave so much, and I just love each one of these young women that I've been able to mentor with, and so thank you for being here on a Saturday morning. And thank you to all of our mentors for being here today. It's been great to have you. If you want more information on student mentoring, you can email me at jennybaker@yahoo.com, or you could email the registerlemmy@gmail.com email and ask for that, and I can share that with you. So, thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Jenny, for putting that together, giving this call for us. There's also a form that you talked about, like the contract that you made. If we get requests for that, we might want to put that somewhere. Maybe I'll put it up on the mentor materials page so that the mentors can get that.
Okay. Yeah, I can.
You want to send that to me?
I can provide it for you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. That was awesome to have that student panel, have you put that together for us.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank everyone for being on the call this morning. Great. Wonderful call. Thank you.
All right, thanks, everyone.
See you later, then.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.